Certainly an exciting day for the Edmonton Oilers to acquire Duncan Keith.
Just felt like the Edmonton Oilers right now, it was a good fit, a great fit. Excited to start this new chapter of my career and try to win a cup in Edmonton.
It's always been my goal to be able to stay in Edmonton, and it's just what I've wanted. I've loved my time in Edmonton so far. The team is progressing the way we want it to, and I want to be a part of that. And obviously, the biggest reason I want to stay is I want to win at Edmonton.
Here's McCabe, all the way, scores!
Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast for this Friday, November 5th. It's Kevin Lowe night down at Rogers Place as your Edmonton Oilers get set to take on the New York Rangers. On the podcast today, we will have a little crossover special for you as I chatted with John Chick from Locked On Rangers. He kind of got me up to speed on the Rangers. I got him up to speed on the Oilers. So that's coming up here in minutes from now. It was a good conversation back and forth there. So that's what's coming up. We'll also get to some news and notes from this game and just kind of go back and reminisce a little bit about Kevin Lowe. I was fairly young when they were winning all those cups in the 80s, so I do remember certain things, but Kevin Lowe for me is more when he came back as the old guy on the Edmonton Oilers there in the mid-90s, so we'll have some fun with that as well. But John Chick coming up from Locked On Rangers. Let's get to the game tonight. The Oilers 8-1 will take on the New York Rangers who are 6-2-2. We got starting goaltenders. Mikko Koskinen will go for the Edmonton Oilers. That was confirmed by Dave Tippett earlier today. He's 6-1 with a 2.18 goals against average and a .934 save percentage. And the Oilers will catch, it is a break because Shesterkin's been excellent this season. But according to New York Rangers media, Colin Stevenson from Newsday says, Gallant says Alexander Georgiev will get the start tonight and Ryan Reeves is a game time decision. The big guy looking to drop the gloves. There's no one really on the Oilers that would be willing to go. I highly doubt that, but you never know. But yeah, no Shesterkin tonight for the Rangers, so that is a good bonus for the Edmonton Oilers. His numbers so far, he's 1-1 with a 3.51 goals against and .873 save percentage. So yeah, the Oilers definitely happy to see him instead of Shesterkin, who's just been unreal this year. He's 5-1-2, 1.85 goals against, .943 save percentage. So good news for the Edmonton Oilers. The last game these two teams played was back on December 31st, 2019. The Oilers won that game 7-5, and the Oilers have won the last four meetings between these two teams. Leading scorers, Dreisaitl leads the Oilers with 20, followed by McDavid at 19. Nuge has 13 assists. Will he get on the scoreboard tonight? That's coming up in my prediction. And for the New York Rangers, Adam Fox, who's an excellent talent, he leads the Rangers with 11 points, followed by Panarin at 10, and Kreider has 8. I'll also add that the players will watch from the bench the Kevin Lowe ceremony. That gets going at 5:45, then they'll have a warm-up, and then puck drops at 7:30, so the players will be able to partake in that, which I think is important. Of course it is, and so good on them for that. And Dave Tippett did add that there's a couple of tweaks coming to the lineup for tonight, so we don't know what's going to happen. Are they going to start the way they started against Nashville, or are they going to have the lineup that finished against Nashville? But obviously, maybe Cuckoo's back in, maybe they make another fourth-line move here. Colton Sevier maybe draws in. Who knows? But we won't know until the warm-ups, but there is some tweaks coming to the lineup. All we know is that Mikko Koskinen is starting in net. Let's get to the conversation I had with John Chick from Locked On Oilers as we both kind of get some information on the two teams meeting tonight. Enjoy the conversation.
All right, and so with no further ado, let's go ahead. Welcome our very special guest for today, host of Locked On Edmonton Oilers, Hernan Salas. Hernan, how are we doing today, buddy?
Well, doing good, man. Looking forward to the game. It's Kevin Lowe retirement night. I mean, he won five cups here, won one in New York. So, and it's great to be seeing the American teams down here again. I'm not going to lie. And every time the New York Rangers are in town, it's always special for me. I love the Unis. They're an old school team. So this one should be a fun one tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm definitely going to be tuning in to catch that Kevin Lowe ceremony because I think he's one of those players that, you know, certainly Ranger fans remember him back in 1994, but I think he's one of those guys that maybe doesn't get as much credit as maybe he deserved for coming in and being that veteran presence on the blue line, kind of the older brother for a lot of those young defensemen. And really a key member of that 1994 New York Ranger Cup winning team.
Yeah, it's crazy because on the station I work at, we were kind of just going back a few years and we were remembering like how many former Oilers were on that team. And then you throw in like the Stephen Matteaux and all those guys. Yeah, it's such a quality team. But I'm not going to lie, back then I was a lot younger and it was a little hard because it was like all the old Oilers winning again. And it wasn't here, you know, it was a little weird. But you're right, Kevin Lowe doesn't get a lot of credit because he wasn't that sexy player. He didn't put up a ton of points, but he was hard nosed, man. I don't think he gets enough credit for how greasy he was and just an overall solid defenseman. And I was saying it yesterday, like, you don't fluke your way into six cups. He was a big part of all of them. So it's good to see his number four go up to the rafters today.
100%. I'm definitely looking forward to tuning into that. And, you know, speaking of the Oilers and, you know, kind of bringing everything to current day here, they're basically just rolling to start the season. 8-1, absolutely on fire. What have you seen from this team? And, you know, how afraid should us Ranger fans be going into this game here tonight?
Well, you know what's crazy, John? They're off to an amazing start. It's their best start since 85-86, so it's been a long time coming. You know what? They're getting the goaltending. I know a lot of, well, including myself, we were concerned about bringing back Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen. Now Smith's been hurt. Mikko's been really good. So the goaltending's holding up. The decor is really holding up. I know there was concerns about the Keith and CeCe pairing, but they've been really good to start. Darnell Nurse has been as advertised, and Evan Bouchard, the young guy in the back end, has really stepped up. So in that sense, and then when you look up front, I mean, you got the duo, right? McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, they continue to do their thing. But I think the most important part here is they have depth now. They got guys like Zach Hyman, Warren Fogle, who have really come in and just kind of changed the attitude of this team, where they're hard on pucks, their forecheck is relentless. And I'll say this, John, they haven't played their best game yet, and they're 8-1. I mean, on Monday, they got away with one against the Kraken. Nashville game on Wednesday, they weren't very good in the first period. You saw Dave Tippett shuffle up all the lines. This first time he's done that this season in the second period, and it works. So this team, it's still got some things to clean up, but at 8-1, how can you really complain? And we'll see. The big question here every game is Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid going to start on the same line or on separate lines? We'll wait and see tonight. They were together to finish the game in Nashville. We'll see what happens tonight against the Rangers.
Yeah, that's actually something that I wanted to ask you about, because, you know, it's kind of a similarity that the Oilers and the Rangers have. I think there's always kind of this question of, do we super stack the top line? You know, with the Rangers, it would be, you know, obviously Artemi Panarin and Mika Zibanejad out there together. And then, you know, maybe you put Kaapo Kakko on the right wing, or maybe you put Kreider on the right wing. But, you know, with the Oilers, do you prefer them to do it that way, to have Draisaitl and McDavid on the same line? And I guess Pohun, I can't pronounce his name. Jesse, what's his last name?
Puljujarvi.
There you go. There you go. But I mean, do you prefer that? Do you prefer the three of them out there together and having Draisaitl and McDavid on the same line? Or would you rather break them up and kind of, you know, spread the wealth a little bit? What's your thoughts on that?
You know what's crazy here? It's that's the thing here. Everybody kind of complains whether they're together or they're not. And for me, right now, after 9 games, I'd say I prefer them to start on separate lines. And if your team's not going, and then you have that move, right? Then you're like, okay, you guys are going together. Let's find a goal here. Let's get some momentum back. So I'm good either way, I guess. But if you would ask me to pick one, I think I like them when they start on separate lines. And then if Dave Tippett has to, he can go to them. And after power plays for the opposing team, he always goes to that line, just because Nugent Hopkins and Hyman kill penalties as well. So he always loads up that top line after a PK. So I prefer them separated. And, you know, John, I was watching the Rangers-Vancouver game. And Panarin, like you said, Zibanejad, Ryan Strome, guy that we had here that never really got an opportunity in the top six, really didn't do much, but he went to New York and everybody's seeing what he's doing. When you're looking at it, is say Panarin and Zibanejad, because I'm looking at the lineups here on Daily Faceoff. I don't know how much you can read into these, but they have them on separate lines. So is Zibanejad going to match up? Let's say if the Oilers do separate the big two, who would he match up against, Connor or Leon?
I would say probably Connor, because Mika Zibanejad, something that a lot of people may not be that aware of with him is he is an outstanding defensive forward. You know, he gets so much attention, and rightfully so, and so much love for everything that he can do offensively and all the points that he can put up and, you know, making magic out there with whoever his line mates might be. But he's become, over the past couple seasons here, a crucial member of the Ranger penalty kill. And penalty killing has been a strength of the team so far this season. So I would imagine he'll be out there to try to neutralize Connor McDavid, which is far, far easier said than done. But I just get the feeling that the Rangers would go with that matchup. And as far as, you know, him and Panarin being together or being separate, I'm with you, Hernan. I prefer to have the two star players on different lines.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you do it that way, then you, if you're the Rangers, you know, you have Zibanejad on the top line, Panarin on the second line. That opens up the door for four different Ranger forwards to play with either Mika or Panarin. Whereas if you have them on the same line, then only one player gets to benefit from playing with both of them. So I like it for that reason. Although I will say, you know, given the fact that the Rangers have really struggled to score goals this season, I'm more open to stacking the top line than I've been in the past, because at some point you got to start putting the puck in the net. You can't rely on Igor Shesterkin to steal a game every single night for you. So I get the feeling that they'll be on different lines to start this game tonight, but if they scuffle offensively, I wouldn't be surprised to see Gerard Gallant shift things around a little bit and maybe try to get the team going by putting Mika and Panarin on the top line. Now, we'll see how it happens, but I suppose it's nice to have, you know, two star players on your team, as both of these teams do, and have that option to either put them together or split them up.
This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar, with plenty of protein. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, and high in protein. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com.
But I got to ask you a question here. What's up with Kaapokako? I mean, I know last year he missed some time, injuries and all that. This year, another slow start. Like, what are you seeing from this player? Because he was a high draft pick. The Rangers are expecting big things from him. Now, he's still very young. He's still early in his career. But what can you tell us about Kaapokako so far in his career, I guess, with the New York Rangers?
Yeah, he's been scuffling a little bit this season. Now, part of that is he did have an injury, so he missed a couple of games there, and he's only been back for 3 games into the lineup. I thought the first game back, he looked dangerous. He looked explosive. He looked like he was gonna, you know, get a goal or at least get on the score sheet. These past 2 games have basically been nothing games from Kaapokako. To your point, Hernan, he still is very young, but at some point I feel like he's got to start doing a little bit more. He's got to start giving the Rangers a little bit more than what they're currently getting out of him. And that goes doubly true when you consider the fact that he has spent the vast majority of this season on the Artemi Panarin line. And Artemi and Ryan Strom, you know, Strom you mentioned as a former Oiler, those two go out there and they just make magic together. It doesn't matter who's on the right wing.
Yeah.
Those two are tremendously impressive, just a great fit together. And, you know, a couple different Rangers over these past couple of seasons have had the opportunity to be the third man on that second line for the Rangers. And these are guys like Jesper Foss, who's known as more of a defensive forward, and guys like Colin Blackwell, who, you know, was taken by the Kraken in the expansion draft this offseason. But these guys are no names and guys that are not really used to putting up offensive numbers. And both of those guys benefited, I think, tremendously from playing with Panarin and Strome. And with Kaapokako, you know, all the talent in the world, you know, the big time draft pedigree going number 2 overall, and he hasn't yet really fully taken advantage of that opportunity. And, you know, last season, a lot of people got on David Quinn because he'd have Kaapokako on the fourth line. He'd have Alexi Lafreniere on the fourth line, which I never agreed with. I don't think that does anybody any favors. But now, you know, there's no excuse there either, because Kaapo, like I said, when he's been healthy, he's been in a top 6 role for basically the entire season. So, you know, at some point, he's really got to pick it up. He's really got to get it going here. I do think he has gradually improved since he's been a rookie. He seems more willing to, you know, fight for the puck along the board, stick his nose in there a little bit, take advantage of his size and strength. So I do think it's gradually improving for him. But, you know, to your point, Hernan, no points in 6 games so far this season. Sooner or later, you know, you got to make it happen on the score sheet as well. So I'm not ready to hit the panic button or anything like that. But, yeah, I would have thought that Kaapokako would be a little bit further along than he is right now. I think that's also fair to say.
You got the 2 elite guys here in Edmonton. You got Panarin and Zibanejad. It's going to be fun, John. I love watching the Rangers here. And I guess I'll ask one more on my end here. I mean, Adam Fox, third-round pick in 2016. This guy just came, like, last year was outstanding. This year he leads the Rangers in scoring.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, they got him for just 2 second-round draft picks from the Carolina Hurricanes. And it's crazy to me to think that, you know, Adam Fox was drafted by the Flames, got traded to the Hurricanes, never actually played a game in the NHL for either of those two franchises. And, you know, the Rangers are able to have him for just 2 second-round draft picks. I mean, it's been a joy to just watch him progress over these past couple of seasons here. And, of course, he wins the Norris Trophy last year. He very rightfully gets rewarded with a big-time contract extension just a handful of games into this season. The guy's just a total package. I really believe that if you ask all 32 NHL GMs, you know, you can snap your fingers and you can have one defenseman in this league on your team. Who's it going to be? I got to believe the vast majority of them, especially when you consider how young Adam Fox is, they'd be saying Adam Fox. I mean, again, just a total package. And I could not be more happy that he got this contract extension. The crazy thing is, you know, he gets this long-term deal. He's still only going to be 31 when the contract runs out. So it's big money. It's a lot of years, but it carries virtually no risk. And I just can't wait to see what Adam Fox can do, you know, throughout his career here. I mean, he's just getting going. It's scary to think how much better that he can get. And, you know, something that I wanted to ask you about too, Hernan, you guys have a heck of a defenseman over there yourselves, and he got rewarded with an extension this offseason. You talked about him briefly as well, but Darnell Nurse, I mean, how big is he for the Oilers right now and what you guys want to ultimately accomplish over there?
Yeah, so Darnell Nurse, yeah, he, you know what was interesting? That he was the guy the Oilers have always been high on, and up until last year, there's questions that if he could take that next step, if he could become that top defenseman for the Edmonton Oilers, and he did. He took the next step, I think, in 2019-20, the shortened COVID season that ended abruptly in March. He was looking good, but I think last year he took that next step, and not just because of the points. It's just the biggest issue with Darnell Nurse was defensive play. He was still a little loose on the defensive end, but he tightened that up. So he's really been he's got so many tools in the tool belt, and he's finally finding a way to use them all. So he's been really, really good this last year and a half or so. This year he's been pretty good. He was paired with Tyson Barrie to start. Tyson Barrie's been struggling out of the gates, so they made the move to put the young Evan Bouchard up there with Darnell Nurse, and they've both looked pretty solid. So, I mean, points-wise and all that, goals-wise, he's not where he was last year, but that's okay because at the end of the day, he is a defenseman and he's playing solid defensively. He's the second guy on the power play after Barrie comes off for the first minute or minute 20. He also kills penalties, and he's an absolute horse, man. Like this guy...
Yeah.
This guy can play 30 minutes a night, no problem. So he's been a nice, I shouldn't say, we always knew there was something there, but he's reaching that. And he's only getting better, and he's still fairly young, mid-20s, so he's only going to continue to get better. And he got paid, and just like a lot of the defensemen this year of his kind of ilk, you know, Seth Jones, Zach Werenski, you saw all those guys get paid big-time money, so Darnell Nurse fit into that category. And the Oilers could not afford to let him walk, so they had to pay him the big bucks. But he's been really, really good for this team. And he's got a nasty streak, too. I mean, he can be pretty greasy out there as well.
Yeah, you know, you got to spend that money somewhere. And when you've got a young stud defenseman, like you just mentioned, like both these teams had, I mean, I think that's as good a place as any to spend the money. And, you know, obviously both Nurse and Fox getting rewarded from their respective teams here. Something else that you mentioned, you talked about it briefly when we were first getting going here, but you talked about the goalie situation a little bit, and, you know, Mikko Koskinen off to a really nice start for you guys this season, former second round pick by the Islanders. But I'm just wondering, you know, among, first of all, just from yourself, but also from Oiler fans, is there a belief that, you know, Mikko Koskinen can be the guy, this is a Stanley Cup caliber goalie, or is there still some nervousness that come playoff time, you know, goaltending could be a little bit of a weakness between Koskinen and Smith, and that it could cost you? I mean, do you think the Oilers could make a move at some point this season to bring in another goalie? Any thoughts on that situation?
That's a great question, and we talk about it a lot here on different podcasts, on different shows, on 1260, and there's a nervousness there still with Mikko Koskinen. I mean, 6-1, he's .934 save percentage. He's been good. He's been really good this year. Mike Smith was good up until he got hurt. He struggled a bit in that Anaheim game. He left after the first, but he did give up 4 goals, so... But in the first two games, he was really good as well. So I'll say this. These two guys have been really good in the last two regular seasons for the Oilers. But come playoff time, and it's not just them. Don't get me wrong. The team wasn't good enough last year getting swept by the Winnipeg Jets. But I think you need an upgrade there. And I think most people here, and it's no disrespect to Mikko or Mike Smith, but I think they need an upgrade when you're heading into the playoffs. This team cannot be bounced in the first round. They cannot. They can't. They got to make some hay here. They got to make a run. You know, Leon and Connor McDavid, every year that you're out in the first round, you're losing another year of greatness, right? So I think for myself, I've never been a big Mikko guy this year. He's come in. He's got his family here. He's made that he's made that public. Says he's feeling more comfortable, and he kind of wants to stick it to a lot of people that were writing him off. So
sure.
Good on him, but I just don't think the Oilers are a Stanley Cup team with these two guys. They're good enough to get you there. I don't know if they're good enough to win it all. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the season shakes out this year. And, you know, as a result of all that, which goalies could be available? I mean, maybe Marc-Andre Fleury from the Blackhawks, because the Blackhawks are a complete mess on and off the ice right now, which is well documented. You know, I mean, he's a little bit older, but maybe catch lightning in a bottle with somebody like him. Any thoughts on Fleury?
You know what? He's a name being tossed around here. I think, I mean, Mikko Koskinen would have to go the other way in any deal that you're getting for a goaltender. The Oilers don't have money, so they would have to get money out, maybe retain some salary from the other team. But they can make it work. I mean, Fleury is a name that's tossed around a lot here. I don't know how realistic that is. Now, in saying that, I think you can get a goalie, but I think you're waiting at least until close to the trade deadline. I think right now the Oilers are okay with rolling with these two guys, but and we'll see, because we've seen Mikko get hot before and then completely fall off. So that's where everybody's kind of waiting and seeing, like, okay, you know, like when he plays too much, he starts letting in some weak goals and all that. So I do think Fleury is a name that's going to be tossed out there a lot. I just don't know if the Oilers can make it happen. I mean, Kenny Holland would definitely have to get creative there. And then, you know, when I look at the Rangers goaltending, I mean, Igor Shesterkin was just, I mean, this guy's just unreal right now. He's played 8 games so far outside of that Vancouver game, where that overtime goal was just, I think it was just kind of a goofy play there. But
yeah,
this guy's really been holding his own there. He's 25 years old. I absolutely love this goaltender. And I think last year you saw more of a split with the two goaltenders. Well, maybe not so much, but I mean, he does play a little bit more than Gorgiev there. But Shesterkin is just a young goaltender, but he's one of the better ones in the league, at least for me.
Yeah, no, he's been outstanding, and I really don't want to think about the Rangers. I mean, the Rangers are 6-2-2, which, I mean, you'll take it any way you can get it, especially when you consider the fact that over the past couple of seasons, the Rangers have not exactly stormed out of the starting blocks. So the fact that they have a winning record and, you know, they're getting points early in the season, you know, I'll definitely take that. But a lot of these wins, Hernan, you know, when you watch these games, it mostly comes down to Igor Shesterkin just absolutely stealing the game. I mean, there was a game against Toronto earlier this season. Obviously, they have some firepower too. But I mean, the Maple Leafs for the entire game were basically just skating circles around the Rangers. And he was just making ridiculous save after ridiculous save. It was one of the most exciting 3-on-3 overtime periods that you'll ever see. And then Panarin ends up scoring off the faceoff. And like, I'm jumping out of my couch and like pumping my fist, but I'm like, how did we just win that game? Like, that never should have happened. So, and like, that's just one example. But yeah, for me, early candidate for the Vezina for sure.
We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I think this is the biggest test of the Oilers season so far.
I think it's the biggest test for the Rangers as well. I mean, you're going up against an outstanding team. They're 8-1, and they just look loaded. And, you know, something that I wanted to ask you about, because, you know, Ranger fans, I think most people obviously know about McDavid and Draisaitl, all the star players. But is there anybody who's maybe not a household name on the Oilers that Ranger fans should maybe keep an eye on tonight, you know, for this game? One or two players that you just want to toss out there?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the guy that you don't want to say his last name, you can call him JP, John Chick.
JP, there we go. I like that.
Jesse Puljujärvi. He's got 3 goals on the season, plays on the top line. I'll just say this. This kid still, he took a huge step last year after coming back from Europe and kind of cleaning up the mess that the Oilers management had with him before. And he scored double-digit goals. I think he's going to be doing that again this year. He's just a big body, and he's relentless on the forecheck. This guy's swiping pucks like no one's business. He's really coming into his own. So that's one player. I mean, Yamamoto started slow. He's been kind of a whipping boy here in Edmonton, but he's got 2 goals in his last 2 games. The little guy plays on the second line. And then he's a household name, but he's come in and really played well. Zach Hyman. This guy is also relentless on the forecheck. He scores most of his goals right by the goaltender in the crease there. But Zach Hyman's been an awesome addition for the Edmonton Oilers. So I'd say look out for Zach Hyman, who a lot of people out in the East know of, but keep an eye out for Jesse Puljujärvi and Killer Yamamoto, two young guys. I think they're the same age, and they're both RFAs next season. So these two guys looking to have big seasons. And so far for Jesse, he's been really good. Yamamoto's getting hot as of late.
Sounds good. And as far as like an under the radar Ranger that, you know, a lot of your fans may not necessarily be familiar with, I'm going to go with Kevin Rooney. The Ranger fourth line has played very well over these past couple of games. It's just a hardworking trio. It's usually Rooney, Greg McKegg, and Dryden Hunt. And again, I realize these are not household names. They're not guys that are going to stuff the score sheet every single night. But, you know, it seems like every time they're on the ice, the puck is always in the attacking zone, and they're always winning board battles and just working their tails off out there. Kevin Rooney, another guy that's a huge member of the penalty kill unit. He really does a nice job there. And somebody that I do think has a little bit more offensive skill than people realize. So, you know, maybe Rooney puts one in the net at some point tonight. But even if he doesn't, I think he'll, you know, you mentioned you got some strong forecheckers there. Rooney, one of the stronger forecheckers on the Rangers. And, you know, I like him to have a strong game here tonight for the Rangers for sure.
Yeah, Dryden Hunt, a WHL guy, so got to see him here earlier later in his WHL career when we were covering the Oil Kings at the station. So it's good to see him find his stride there with the New York Rangers. Excited for the game tonight. And I'll keep an eye on that line.
Absolutely. I'll keep an eye on your guys as well. So I figure, you know, we can pretty much wrap up there. But Hernan, do you want to throw out a prediction, you know, a final score, somebody to get on the score sheet for the Oilers? Anything you want to toss out there?
Yeah, I always do this on my podcast every game. It is Kevin Lowe night. I don't want to be a downer. And oh, man. But I do think this one's going to be tough. You know what? I'm going to take the Rangers in overtime in this one. I'm going to take the Rangers in overtime by a score of 3-2. I think it's going to be low scoring. I think both goaltenders are going to be really good, but I will take the Rangers in OT, and I'm going to pick Nugent Hopkins to score for the Oilers. He has 13 assists, John, so far this season, but zero goals. So I think he gets off the schneid tonight.
Gotcha. And I think this is interesting because we're both going to pick each other's teams. I don't want to be that guy that just comes on here and picks the Rangers every single game.
Yeah.
You know, given the fact that the Oilers are 8-1, they're obviously off to a great start, given the fact that the Rangers have really been struggling to score goals and they're going up against, you know, a pretty hot goalie if Mikko Koskinen gets the start, I just don't know that translates to a win for this Ranger team here tonight. So I'll say the Oilers win this one 4-2. I think Igor Shesterkin is likely to start for the Rangers, although they do have a back-to-back, so you figure he gets one, Georgiev gets one. But I think if Igor's in the net, I think he probably keeps the Rangers in the game for, you know, at least a period or two. But I think the Oilers maybe pull away late, and they go on to win this one 4-2. But, you know, I will say this. If the Rangers do go in there and they do come away with 2 points, you could probably make the argument right then and there that it's probably among the Rangers' best performances of the season, just given what a good team Edmonton has and how hot they've been to start the season here.
And like I said earlier, I think this is a big test for the Edmonton Oilers. We'll see how they fare.
Absolutely. So, Ranger fans, Oiler fans, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time.
That was a fun convo with John Chick from Locked On Rangers. And, yeah, he didn't want to see Jesse's last name. That was pretty funny. But, no, good convo there. We'll see how Panarin's line lines up, how the Benajed's line lines up. And keep an eye out for that fourth line that he mentioned with Kevin Rooney there as a player to look out for, a guy that's kind of a bit of an unknown. But this is what Daily Faceoff has. There's no official lines. I know the Rangers had an optional this morning, and it was well attended, but nothing really coming from it. But this is what they have on Daily Faceoff, so take it with a grain of salt. Barclay Goodrow with Mika Zibanejad and Chris Kreider. Your second line is Artemi Panarin, Ryan Strome, and Kaapo Kakko, who we talked with John about, really needs to get going here. Still young, but he needs to start producing a little bit more. It's Dryden Hunt with Philip Chytil and Sammy Blais, and Alex Lafreniere with Kevin Rooney and Greg McKegg is your fourth line. Defensively, Ryan Lindgren with Adam Fox, Keandre Miller with Jacob Trouba. That's a good shutdown pair. I saw that game against Vancouver. They're all right. They got scored on, I think, the first goal, but that's a bruising pairing for sure. And Patrick Nemeth with Jared Tenorti makes up your third pairing. And like we heard in the opening, Alexander Georgiev getting the start for the New York Rangers. Shesterkin set to go on Saturday night when they're in Calgary to take on the Flames. So that's your update on the New York Rangers. As for the Edmonton Oilers, we know Mikko's getting the start. Going to be his eighth game that he sees action in. He's been really good. He's 6-1 on the season. So we'll see if the Big Finn can lead the Oilers to their ninth win of the season. It's going to be fun. Kevin Lowe getting his number retired. Probably the last of the 80s players players that's going to go up there. He gets into the Hall of Fame. He'll join all the other greats, Gretz, Mesfir, Coffey, Curry. And I know I'm going to forget one here, and I apologize for that. Did I say Mess? I think I did. Anyways, he's going to join them there, and good on him. I mean, he was never the sexiest player on the team, but he was hard-nosed, man. I don't think he gets enough credit for how solid he was defensively and how tough he was. Truly, truly tough. Like I said, I was still fairly young in the 80s. I remember him more when he came back, but I just remember the skates. He always had those weird-looking skates. The helmet he wore kind of like similar to what Wayne Gretzky had, and I always loved the number four, so he always kind of stood out for me. But this guy is just an Oiler through and through, right player. He was an assistant. He was a head coach. GM. He's done it all with the Edmonton Oilers, and if you've ever met him out in public, he's just a gentleman. He always has time for the fans or anyone that just wants to chat quickly about the Oilers or anything like that. So good on him. And I know he took a lot of heat during the decade of darkness and some of the comments he made. And listen, at that time, everybody was frustrated. The team wasn't evolving at all. It was just taking step back after step back after step back. So it was tough times for everybody involved. But he's being recognized as a player, and he was a solid one. He won 6 cups, 5 with Edmonton, 1 with the New York Rangers, and he was a solid player. He was a solid contributor to all his team. He wasn't like a 7th defenseman. No, he played quality minutes, and for all the stars that the Oilers have retired, like Kevin Lowe wasn't a star, but he's like a star in his own right in a certain way, just the way he carried himself, always a leader, a guy you can always rely on. So a little bit different, but great to see him go up there and join the elite of the 80s Oilers dynasty teams. Said he had 6 cups. He played 1,254 games. He had 432 points. He had 1,498 PIMs. So, yeah, this guy didn't shy away. He wasn't the toughest, but he wasn't afraid. I'll tell you that. So, pretty awesome. Of course, Kevin Lowe was not. He was the first player drafted by the Edmonton Oilers, but he also notched the first goal in franchise history. That's awesome. That's pretty cool. So, it's going to be nice to see him. We probably won't see another number retired until Connor Leon, probably. I mean, I know people were texting into the inbox today, like, hey, what about Ryan Smith? Ryan Smith was great. Don't get me wrong, but not at that level that these guys were. And I don't think they're doing that kind of wall of honor, that room of honor. I think he'll land there, but I don't think we'll see another Hall of Fame jersey retirement until McDavid and Leon are done their playing days. But that's a long ways away, so let's not worry about that now. Now let's just enjoy it. And once again, if you're going to the game, make sure you're there early because the ceremony starts at 5:45. Warm-ups will be at 7, puck drop at 7:30. What are you thinking for tonight? I told John I think the Oilers will drop one in overtime, and I am picking Nugent Hopkins to score. This is going to be a good test for the Edmonton Oilers. I think this is their biggest test of the season. I think for the Rangers, according to John as well, is the biggest test for them. So this one should be a fun one. Hopefully they can pull the win. I can't pick the Oilers to win every damn game, right? They're not only going to have one loss in the season, but I do think these teams are close, and I think it's going to be tight and low scoring. That's why I picked overtime, but I think the Rangers will find a way to win this one, and then the Oilers will head out next week on the road, which is going to get busy, but at least they're early games, which is awesome. I love the early 5 o'clock, 5:30 starts. So let me know what you think. Share your favorite memories with me. Let me know predictions and who's going to score the first goal for the Oilers. I got the Oilers losing 3-2 in overtime with Nugent Hopkins getting on the score sheet tonight. Hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. Right, guys, let's wrap this one up. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the weekend. Be safe. Be nice. For the Locked On Oilers podcast and my producer, Juanito, I am HernanTheMan talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy the game tonight. Go Oilers, go. Go Kevin Lowe. We'll chat on Monday.